All the gold and silver too shining in the distance, and all I want.
Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The publicity material surrounding Lindsay Lou's new album makes the point that her band's music takes some cues from the Nashville where they live today and from Michigan where she grew up. The former reference is to folk and Americana, the latter to Motown.
Of course, the music of the Michigan where Lindsay grew up, the Upper Peninsula, probably has more in common with Bill Frisell than it does with Diana Ross, but the characterization is a good one because their sound is different than just about anyone else we've had in Lake Effect Studio C1. Lindsay Lou's new album is called Southland. Here's a song called Shining in the Distance.
Is it not time? Is it not time?
Holy cow, what a great song. That's Lindsay Lou with Shining in the Distance from the new album Southland. First of all, thank you so much and welcome to Milwaukee.
Thanks for having us.
And I guess before we get any further, we should have you all introduce yourselves so we know who's playing in the studio, Studio C1 here.
Well, I'll start. My name is Lindsay Lou, and I grew up in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, live in Nashville now, and we got some guys here. I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself, Josh.
My name is Joshua Rilko. I'm from Saginaw, Michigan. Lived in Nashville, Tennessee for the last 3 years or so. And I'm playing the electric guitar on a few of these songs and some mandolin.
Excellent. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm PJ George playing the bass for you today.
This is Jeff Wilson.
He's playing the drums, by the way. Jeff is playing the drums.
Excellent.
He only has one drum, it looks like.
Oh, right. He's
playing
the drum.
And a brush.
Some brushes.
Mm-hmm. Some brushes.
So I was listening to that song, and the obvious question, maybe it's not an obvious question, but the question that jumps to mind is, how do you manage to sound like both a soul band and a bluegrass band all at the same time?
Well, it's nice that you should put it such, because we've been asked lately how to describe ourselves. It's a difficult thing to do, but that's a really nice way to put it. I was asking them actually the other day, what are we? How do we describe ourselves?
People have been asking us.
People have been asking us for a long time.
We've been getting a lot of questions.
Yeah, but recently, it's been a topic of discussion. But that's nice. You said a soul band and a bluegrass band?
Yeah, you managed to sound like both at the same time without it sounding like soul-tinged bluegrass or bluegrass-tinged soul. It just it sounds like almost uncharted territory.
Cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Genreless.
And, you know, we don't set out to sound a certain way. We just know what we love, and we try to create something that we love. And bluegrass and soul are definitely large influences, and, you know, it goes back to the heart of what those things are, you know.
Well, yeah. So who were you listening to when you were learning to become a songwriter?
I was listening to the Indigo Girls, actually, quite a lot growing up. But I grew up in a family, you know, musical family. So we were always singing Beatles songs and gospel songs. And I listened to a lot of Billie Holiday and Nat King Cole and a lot of the jazz singers. But my mom was really into Joni Mitchell. And so that was inherently a big influence.
I think a good part of my upbringing in music was like pop music. It was stuff that was on the radio, but there was a certain time when I got into bluegrass pretty heavy and went down like the, you know, full bluegrass path. And I know Josh also caught the bluegrass bug early in his life as well. So that's part of the bluegrass influence there.
This band kind of was sort of a full-on bluegrass band when it first started.
Did that feel at all, I mean, given your various influences and what you wanted to do, did it feel at all unnatural to be just a blue, I don't want to say just a bluegrass, but purely a bluegrass band?
Well, it's just a nature of the situation, you know, is that I loved that music, and I happened to meet Josh, and he was, you know, you learn music through these genres, and so basically just, like, grab on to something and learn from the people who are doing it really well. And bluegrass was what was happening, and I loved it. And I especially loved that they would invite me over to sing harmonies with them on their porch, you know, because that felt like singing with my family and just felt like a really natural thing. But I guess, yeah, I never felt like I was, at least for me, as, and I would probably say all of you would agree to some degree, that you don't feel like your whole musical identity is captured in a genre, ever.
The thing that's cool about starting at bluegrass is you can instantly just play so many songs together. So even if you only have a couple of original songs, you can still go play a four-hour gig and just fill it with bluegrass. And then over time, we'd come up with more original songs or more interesting covers and less bluegrass.
I was talking with Ricky Skaggs recently, though, and
that is a nice name drop there.
Totally. We played this outdoor festival in Pittsburgh with him a couple days ago, and I talked about harmony singing. I just told him, you know, I listen to your harmony singing, and it's when I sing bluegrass songs, I hear you in my head, and that's sort of what I'm recreating now. Somebody else might not know that because it sounds like me, but in my head, I hear Ricky Skaggs. I just wanted to tell him that.
It must have been cool to be able to tell him that.
It was cool, yeah. And it was after a long, he had just sat through a long line of people getting his autograph, and I was really, I really admired his, you know, just a sort of peace about it all, because it is sort of a, can be an over and over thing, but he just gave his time to every person, and same to me, you know. And he was saying that he really likes the pureness of like the bluegrass mountain soul, that there is something there, that he said something about like there's a lot of other tributaries and rivers, but it's like mountain soul has this sort of heart to it. That, so that's just as a you know, alternate perspective of saying that nobody has ever just finds their musical identity in one genre.
Mountain soul is a great term.
Yeah.
How much access to live music did you have growing up?
Well, just the live music was my family jamming. So anytime there would be three or more people together, and my mom had 12 brothers and sisters, so it was mostly like 30 to 60 people together, there'd be singing. There's like family standards that everybody would just sing.
Like what?
Well, in the younger generation, you know, the late night parties, it was a lot of Offspring and Indigo Girls and Stone Temple Pilots. And my aunts and uncles, you know, the generations are pretty fluid, but they would be singing Nowhere Man, Norwegian Wood. Oh, and this like random medieval fair. My uncle was in a medieval fair for a while, and was in the fair with these musicians and learned this song, Minstrel Boy, from them. And that became like a really solid family jam. Like if any of my family's together and someone starts playing that song, everybody knows the words and is singing harmonies along to it.
Well, I feel like we should continue with our own little private music festival here and hear something else. What else would you want to play for us?
I'll play a song, the first song on the new record. It's called Roll With Me.
Looking for someone to warm your bed, a pretty mama to cut the crust off your bread. Were you tired of spending your nights alone? Looking for someone to make a happy home. I'm not drawn to the quiet days. Spend my life learning how to get away. You can roll with me, baby. Don't slow me down. I'm not holding on. I'm not following the crowd. You can roll with me, baby. But don't slow me down. No one got anywhere by waiting around. Thank you.
In your world, everything adds up. Drink your coffee from your favorite cup. Who drew the lines that you're filling in? I'm gonna erase them and begin again. I see you looking around, and I understand, but I dare you take me as I am and roll with me, baby. Don't slow me down. I'm not holding on. I'm not following the crowd. You can roll with me, baby. Don't slow me down. No one got anywhere by waiting around. Down, I'm not holding on, and I'm not following the crowd. You can roll with me, baby. Don't slow me down. No one got anywhere.
I just love that song so much. That's a great song.
Thanks.
Thank you. Roll with me. It's Lindsay Lou in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. The new album is called Southland. How much of the album is informed by where you all are now, by which I mean Nashville?
I think a big part of the title and its meaning to me is less about where we are and more about the transition, you know, because we moved from the north, where we were in Michigan in this cozy hub of a beautiful music community, and we decided to venture south to Music City, where a lot of our friends are, and it sort of felt like taking home to the Southland. But also, you know, one thing that it means to me is in this current political climate of division, the cover is me on a river in this beautiful waterhole where people of all backgrounds, shapes and sizes and colors, they all gather here and they all take part in this very human experience of just cooling down in the river. And part of that just was a symbol to me of being able to find that no matter where you are.
You are not wearing any clothes on the cover of this album. Is there a metaphor in kind of exposing yourself in that way too?
Yeah, just being seen and, you know, being not ashamed of what is natural.
She does have a hat
on.
Yeah,
I was going to say you're wearing a hat on.
Not entirely.
What else was important in shaping the album?
Well, this was our first record where we worked with a producer. Our first record where we had drums proper on it. On our previous record, you know, it sort of seems like every record has been a transition record or a crossover record. My friend Rachel said this is a great crossover record. So we have this record from 2012 that's very bluegrassy, has a 5-string banjo on it. And then Ionia, which was the first record we had PJ on, and no 5-string banjo, and it had sort of started to move more towards our own sound. You know, it felt like bluegrass was, you know, it was like almost a vehicle to get us to ourselves. And we're just getting closer and closer to it and experimenting with other textures and sounds that we love, you know, and so that was a big part of shaping the sound of the record. And also moving to Nashville, it in this songwriter world started to open up my eyes and my ears to certain things and was a big part of my process in writing a lot of the songs.
So we're having this conversation. I think you are heading off to Eau Claire the next day or two for a concert or concerts there. I mean, just about everything I've read about you speaks to what great live performances you all do, and I think I'm getting a flavor for it here. You can't quite do the same thing you would do on a full-on stage, but what do you think the ingredients are for a good live show, and how did you guys happen to acquire them?
A lot of touring, that's what I would say.
I think our songs are, each one's a little bit different in its own way, and we also are all pretty versatile on different instruments, so we switch back and forth sometimes in the live show, and I think that really adds to the, to the value of the show. And yeah, because we don't just switch instruments because we want to. We do it because of what the song calls for and what each of us could bring to that song. And yeah, Lindsay plays bass sometimes. Sometimes I play guitar. Josh switches around to bass and guitar as well. Jeff stays the drums for now.
Is it cathartic to after a long day on the road to get to do what you do on stage?
It's the best part for sure, and this too. This is, like, the best part. Like, playing music in a different context, too. To have diverse environments to hear it. Because just like, you know how when you listen to a song, and when you listen to it with a certain person in the car or something, all of a sudden the song will sound completely different, and you'll hear different things? That's sort of playing these songs, too, in different contexts is sort of lets you get to know it in a new way.
Well, it's definitely the best part of my day, for sure. I feel so lucky to have had you all in, and I think we're all really grateful that you made the special trip over to Milwaukee to see us.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. I hope we'll see you on a stage here before too long.
Yeah.
Hope so too.
Me too.
And what are you going to play us out with?
We're going to play you out with a song called Sugar.
Well, I've been living with lackluster conviction, thinking, speaking in contradiction, like a senator who lives to serve a holy man without the word. And I spent my last penny on that sugar. Oh, I've got that not to fight for your attention. When I'm in left field with an out of sight intention, in a game where I ain't keeping score, least of all when I want more. Yeah, I spent my last penny on that sugar. Mm-hmm. Yes, on that sugar.
Lindsay Lou recorded in the Lake Effect Performance Studio in between shows in Rockford, Illinois and Eau Claire. Her new album is called Southland, and you can hear more of her and her band's in-studio performance at WUWM.com.